So I'll just call you the Mount of Blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So every time you hear me say Mount of Blessing, you know I'm talking about your church.
Amen.
Amen. You know, God is truly a good God, and he's doing some things in the earth today, and you and I have been brought into the kingdom for such a time like
yes.
this.
Yes.
And I'm grateful to God for an opportunity to be here this morning to not only worship with you, but to have the privilege to bring the word of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we're going to dive into the word here in a few minutes. And as your pastor said, I met him some years ago. You know, when you start getting 27, 30, we start, you know, putting the number down a little bit. Amen. But he's been very... been a friend and been very instrumental in some things in my life, and God brought him into my life. And we're going to talk about the spirit-filled life, by the way. And as we talk about that, you'll see how the Holy Spirit has a plan for us, and he's at work not only in the church, but he's at work in you.
Amen.
And a lot of times we don't realize he is at work in us. We attribute a lot of things to our own ingenuity. But when you look behind the scene, you'll see him, that third person of the Godhead who has been actively involved in our life. And the Bible says that he has come to conform us to the image of Christ. And I want to say a public thank you to this church that has been involved in missions. Our church is involved in missions in Liberia, West Africa. There's a, you know, a Better Way, Word of Life church in Liberia, West Africa, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. We're doing some building. We've been able to purchase some land, so we're legally there. We're getting ready to move into Ghana, and I'm meeting with a pastor in Ghana and actually four more pastors in Liberia. So that what you've been doing, it's reaping. So we appreciate and thank you so much for your giving. You'll receive some here on this earth, but in the life to come, you'll be able to shake hands with people that you may not have seen face to face, but that nation has come out of a terrible war. So many atrocities and things have been committed, but God is rich in mercy.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, yes.
Okay, are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies and your grace, and we thank you for your son Jesus, who made it possible that we would have eternal life. Now, God, I ask that you would anoint me again to teach the word. The word is already anointed. I need to be anointed. And so I thank you, Lord God, for anointing me. I thank you, Lord, for the listening ears, that hearts are prepared to receive the engrafted word that's able to save their souls. We thank you, Lord, that this group of people are running the race with patience that is set before them, and we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open your Bibles to St. John, the 7th chapter. St. John, the 7th chapter. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to go through some things. I'm going to write a few things on the board. I don't know how much I'm going to write. It just depends how the Holy Spirit moves. But we're talking about the spirit-filled life, and we're going to talk about it this morning and today. I tell you, of all the things, of all the subjects for me, that was life-changing after being born again, it was the spirit-filled life. It's the spirit-filled life, and I'm still living the spirit-filled life. Christianity is an exciting, exciting journey.
Amen.
It's not boring. I'm not just waiting to go to heaven. I'll be glad to get there. But I'm so anxious about what God is doing on the earth. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. 1 John 5:13 said, these things were written that you might know that you have eternal life. So I know I'm going to heaven, but I have some things to do down here on earth.
Amen.
Amen. And we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. It's been allotted unto us some time, and we need to redeem the time.
Amen.
Now in St. John, the 7th chapter, verse 37, Jesus, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood out and cried out and saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, here we have Jesus in the book of John on the great day of feast, and this was the Feast of Tabernacles, by the way, and that feast was 8 days, and on the eighth day was what they call the day of consecration, and the Feast of Tabernacles was when the dwelling of the Lord would come and visit his people. And Jesus made a statement. He said, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly, his inner man, shall flow rivers of living water." Now, when the scripture is talking about our belly, it's not talking about this here, but it's talking about our inner being. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Right. Now, you remember in St. John, the fourth chapter, the woman at the well, when she met Jesus, and he said that if you ask me, I will give you some water, that you would never thirst again. And he said, if you drink of this water, it would be a well springing up into everlasting life. Mm-hmm. Now, when you are born again, it's a well. It's a well of water that we can draw on. Yes. But when you're spirit-filled, there's a river. God wants you now to, you're born again. You're feasting on that well of water. Mm-hmm. But how many of you know humanity needs to be touched?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Humanity needs a touch, and humanity only can be touched through a river. Mm-hmm. Now, you go to a pond, and a pond can get stagnant because the water is not moving.
Yes. Yes.
You understand? Mm-hmm. A pond can become stagnant because the water is not moving, but you go to a river, rarely do you see a stagnant river.
Amen.
Because it's steady moving. And God wants us as believers not to become stagnant, that we just drink in and up for ourselves. You become stagnant, but he wants you to become a river now, that out of your belly, the river of everlasting life would flow into somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, that river of living water, when the scripture is talking about living water, really is talking about the word. Now, he's specified that he was talking about the Holy Spirit, and that's the baptism or the immersion in the Holy Spirit. Today in church world, there's great debates on whether we should talk about it, or if we talk about it, you're talking about it too much, and the extremes. How many know people drive cars crazy?
Amen.
But I'm not going to stop driving because they drive cars crazy.
All right.
Amen. And just because you drive a car wild doesn't mean I must stay out of cars. And just because in Christendom some people do some things a little overboard, mm-hmm. we're not to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
All right. All right.
Now I want you to turn to Acts, the first chapter. Mm-hmm. Acts, the first chapter. Thank you, Lord,
yes.
for the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Because today, if the Spirit is not upon you, he can come upon you, because it's to you, to your family, to your children, and to your great grandchildren, and to your nephews and your aunties, and to whoever. And Acts, the first chapter, verse 1, he says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise which ye have heard, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." Now, Luke was the writer of the book of Acts, and he was writing to Theophilus of all that Jesus not only began to do, but began to teach until the day he was ascended. You know, when a person gets ready to leave this earth and it's proven, the things they talk about last are the things that are important. Is really on their heart. They only have a little time left. And before Jesus left, he took his disciples and told them, "Don't you leave. Jerusalem to you be endued from on high with power. And also he talked to them about the person of the Holy Spirit. And this was really his last message. And I want you to go to St. John, the 14th chapter. Mm-hmm. St. John, the 14th chapter. Now, we're going over. We're rehearsing what you've already learned. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But how many know faith comes how?
By hearing.
And hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith does not come by having heard, but you need to hear it over and over and over and over again. Amen. Glory to God. I believe the mistake we made when we think, yeah, I know that. Mm-hmm. Look at it again. You'll find you don't know it as well as you think you know.
All right.
And St. John, the 14th chapter, Jesus said, and his was a part of this last discourse before he ascended. He said, and I will pray the Father, and I'm reading in verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit. He was going away, but he was going to send another.
All right, yes.
Like himself.
Yeah.
Another, a deity, Godhead. And we know it's important that we understand the person of Holy Spirit so we can live this Spirit-filled life. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify Jesus. And that's how you can know if God is in something. If Jesus' name is lifted up, God is in it. If human's name is lifted up, God is not in it.
All right, amen. All right.
The Holy Spirit will not glorify you. He will glorify Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. Somebody said, well, how do I know God is in it? Simple. If Jesus is glorified, he's in it.
Amen.
If he's not, he's not in it. Amen. Glory to God. I think sometimes we get very, you know, so how do I know? It's very simple. Is Jesus being glorified? If Jesus is being glorified, he's in it. If he's not, you don't even have to worry about it. But I wanted to bring this particular scripture out, and I want to go also to verse 26. Now, I'm speaking fast. Amen?
Amen.
It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, look what he'll do. He'll teach you all things, and he'll bring all things to your remembrance, all the things that I said unto you. Now, I like this about the person of the Holy Spirit. Not only will he teach you, but he'll bring things to your remembrance. How many ever wonder how, when they were talking to people about Jesus, all these scriptures came to you?
Amen.
And you didn't have them all written down. But all of a sudden, you start talking and things just start coming up.
Amen.
You know the Holy Spirit, he knows how to download your stuff.
All right.
Yes. Lord, my Lord.
He knows exactly. The quickest computer there's no speed like the Holy Ghost. He can just bring it up. And you think, well, sometimes, well, I wish I knew all them verses. You do know them. They are on the inside of you.
Amen.
You know, thank God we're to meditate on the scriptures day and night. But most of the time, you won't be able just to start gurgitating and rattle all those scriptures off. But the Holy Spirit has them stored. So when the time he is using you, he'll say, now bring this one. Bring this one. All of a sudden, it just flow and flow. What is it doing? He's bringing things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I taught you. Now, this is important because we're going to move on. There's the things the Holy Spirit has taught you from a child up. And he has times to bring them to your remembrance, to use them in the kingdom of God. Every little teaching moment that God has used, he'll bring things to your remembrance. Well, let's go to the 16th chapter of St. John, and verse 13, then we'll move on. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, and notice he's called the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit's job, the Spirit-filled life, will bring you into truth. The Spirit-filled life will bring you in the truth. This is important. You may start out with one belief, but if your heart is open, he's going to bring you into truths about things you didn't even think was true.
Amen.
Let me say that again. You may start out one way believing one thing, but if your heart is open, he's going to bring you into truth about things you didn't even think there was truth. Hallelujah. You might have disagreed with it once upon a time, but you said, Lord, whatever you want for me, I'm open to it. You said, well, okay, if that's the case, I'm going to bring you into a truth that you deny.
That's the Lord.
But when you come into a truth that you denied and you recognize it's truth, humble yourself and say, Lord, I was wrong.
Amen.
And I received the
Amen.
Truth. The sad thing is, Pastor Bill, there's a lot of people come in the truth. They know it's truth, but that pride won't allow them to acknowledge, hey, I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. That's why Jesus came in the earth, for us mistaking people.
Yes. Yes.
We make mistakes.
Yes.
Thank God the Holy Spirit has come to help me. Now, he's going to thank you that he's the Spirit of truth. He'll bring you into truth. I love that. I love that about him. He'll bring you in the truth. Now, also, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, what is it he's hearing? He's hearing what Jesus tells him about you or where to place you, and he'll speak to you. If God has called you into something, Jesus said, I've called him into something. Now, I want you to relate to him. I've called him into that. If the Holy Spirit wants you to go to a certain church, Jesus wants you to go to a certain church, and I want you to listen to him. The Bible says God have set in the church. Somebody say God set.
God set.
So if God set in the church, he know where you ought to go to church at.
Amen.
Now, I know. Just listen. I know you think you're your own. You know your own boss, and I go where I want to go. But it's not the truth. You've been bought. You've been purchased. You've been redeemed. Now listen, if you've been bought and you've been purchased and you redeemed, you don't own yourself. So the head of the church said, I'm going to pluck you up from here and I'm going to place you here. Now that's the job of the Holy Spirit to put it in your heart. Say, why don't you go over there for a visit? You think you came for a visit. Holy Spirit had to lead you over, and then you got visit number two, visit number three, visit number four. After the fourth visit, you know the truth. You know the truth. He's just waiting on you to acknowledge the truth. Oh, glory. We're going to have a good one now. Hallelujah. Now we're talking about this Spirit-filled life. Let's look at it now. Here we go. Verse 13, he says, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. There's things that's going to take place in your life that the Holy Spirit has planned. Jesus has planned. And he told the Holy Spirit to alert you, I'm going to do this in your life. And not only this, the Holy Spirit is alerting the earth today that I'm getting ready to move big time. He's alerting the earth today. Now, the world don't know it.
Yes.
They're trying to find answers and everything, and the church has the answers. We know what's going on.
Come on.
We know exactly what's going on,
yes.
And he's speaking to us. He's showing us things to come. Now, you have to be an ostrich to stick your head into the sand and not realize what God is doing in the earth. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Now that we've covered that, let's go back to the book of Acts. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the Spirit-filled life this morning. What a wonderful life it is.
Yes, it is.
When the God of the universe placed a person called Holy Spirit within us to lead and guide us and direct us. Now, I just want to bring out a point about guide. Mm-hmm. See, when we say guide, we think the Holy Spirit, would you stand up real quickly? And turn around, face the wall. We think that the Holy Spirit, when he guides us, he's pushing us on like this. That's not what a guide. Now, I want you to turn around. When the Holy Spirit guides, let me get your hand, he takes you and show you which way to go. Just like this. This is just how he do. He's guiding you. Thank you, sir. Now, you know that when you visited a place, and you've been there for the first time. He went to Italy. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, he could have got off, you know, and just went all around Italy, and but he would never seen the sights unless he had a guide. The guide will show him how, whatever his time is, to see the things he need to see in a short length of time. If he didn't have a guide, he would have been stuck on two streets.
All right. Yes. Amen.
You need your guide.
Yes. Right.
Some of you have been stuck on two streets too long.
Right.
And the guide wants to lead you. He has more streets and more places for you to go, more things to do. But you have to trust the guide. You have to trust the guide. How many trust Jesus? Have no problem in trusting Jesus, but the Spirit wants to lead us, and we, well, I don't know. Well, why don't you don't know about Jesus? Whatever Jesus said, I do. But the Spirit's been trying to lead you. Oh, and Jesus says, I'm going to send him back. He's like me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you in Acts?
Yes.
In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said this. He said to those disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, Jesus said, don't leave. Don't leave Jerusalem till you be endued with this power from on high. And he said, you're going to be a witness. You're not going to just pass out tracts, but you're going to demonstrate that I'm living.
All right.
And see, we thank God for passing out tracts. I pass out a lot. But I realize I need to do a little bit more.
Yes.
Because if he's living, he still heals the sick.
Amen.
If he's living, he still takes care of people.
Mm-hmm.
If he's living, we still can walk on water. Some of y'all didn't jump too crazy. The Holy Spirit's job is to lead us and become the believers we're supposed to become.
Yes.
The devil has tricked us out of the Spirit-filled life.
Right.
He sort of dragged us back into the intellect realm. In the intellect realm, where we depend on our intellect. Now, thank God for intellect, but intellect didn't save me. It was the Spirit of God. I was born again supernaturally. It was a supernatural birth. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on. He said, you'll be witnesses where? Jerusalem, that's your family. See, and I'll stop here real quick. It's amazing. People don't go around the world and don't want their family to know they're saved.
Lord, have mercy.
If your family say you're saved, then you're saved.
Yeah. Amen.
If your family says you changed, I believe you changed. But your family say you're the same old. See, one thing about family, you know how they are. They're going to tell the truth.
Amen.
But if a family member says, yeah, they're not the same, they changed, then I know they changed.
All right. All right.
And he says, I want you to be a witness in your family. Doesn't mean that they're going to jump on board of everything, but they want to see a changed you.
Yes. Right.
They want to see that this Christ that you say you have has changed you, and that you're not going off like you used to.
Yes. Amen. All right now.
Amen.
Whoa,
amen.
I'm talking about the people in Philly. Nobody up here, nobody up here does that in Erie. They don't have those kind of problems up here in Erie. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's go to Acts, the second chapter. Acts 2, verse 1, it says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divers tongues as of fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Now, I want you to know who was that group in that upper room. Now, in that verse 13 and 14, of the Acts, the first chapter, and I'll go back to Acts the second. But verse 13 and 14 says, "And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Now, I don't know what background you come. I don't know how they missed this. It was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and he had some brothers out of Mary's womb. Mary was the Virgin Mary when Christ was born.
Yeah. Amen.
But later on, she consummated her marriage with Joseph, and children were born.
Yeah.
Now, she was the mother of the Lord, and henceforth, all generations shall call her blessed. The scripture said that. That's true. She's blessed.
Mm-hmm.
She's blessed. But she had to submit to her son as her Lord. She had to switch roles and be obedient and go to the upper room and hang out with the rest and wait on the promise of the Father. He did not say, "Mary, you don't go because you got a special seat." Now, don't get me wrong. She will have special.
Yes.
She is special. Yes. But look, she had to submit herself to the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now we'll go back over to the second chapter. Hallelujah. And so all of them were up there, and they were all filled. Men and women. Men and women. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Now, the reason I want to talk about the Spirit-filled life, because it was then when I got Spirit-filled that my life took on a new dimension.
All right.
Now, I was born again, and I'll never forget it. I was born again, had entered in the ministry, and I was at a job, and we were witnessing and sharing our faith, and we were having Bible studies and things like that, and we had a man that used to come to our Bible study all the time, and he used to say, "You brothers need to be Spirit-filled," and I always thought, "We are Spirit-filled. We're born again." And we just got aggravated. Every week he come in here with this Spirit-filled stuff. "You messing up our Bible study. Why don't you go over somewhere else?" And you know, I'm open to the things of God. And I had come from a background where, you know, we fought that baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Everything God wanted me to have when I was born again, I had it.
All right.
And I didn't read any more into the book of Acts and into 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And he kept coming. And one day, there was a service down in a place called Miracle Temple, and a guy from upstate Pennsylvania called R.W. Shambach was preaching. He was preaching there. And I liked to hear him on radio because I thought that white man could really preach. That's just how I said it. I said, "That white man can preach. I'm going to hear him." And so I went. My aunt had invited me to this service. And I'm going, and I'm there. I'm enjoying the preaching and doing like everybody else. Yeah, preach, preach, preach. And at the end, they had a prayer line. And I had a job, and I wanted to change the job. So I went up in line because I'm standing in line for, they're going to pray for me. I'm going to get a new job. I'm all excited about the new job. Well, he goes down the line. He's praying for this one. He's praying for that one. He's praying for this one. And he stopped right in front of me. And I'm thinking he's going to pray for my job. And he says, he looked at me and he touched my forehead. Then he touched my belly. He said, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." And I thought, "Brende le bugita baba. Brende le bakataya." And I forgot all about the job. I mean, that's not how everybody got filled, but I believe God was trying to show me something.
Right.
Yeah, Mr. Hard-hearted didn't want to believe.
Right.
That thing was real.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I just began, the rest of the evening, late at night, I'm praying in the spirit, and I couldn't wait to get to the job to tell him the next day. And then when I saw him, I said, "Hey, listen, you wouldn't believe what happened." He said, "What?" I said, "I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost." He said, "Well, how do you know?" I said, he started laughing. He started laughing. He said, I told you you did. I said, yes, sir, brother. I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. Now, what happened was from that point, the Bible, I started reading the Bible, became like a new Bible. I said, I didn't know all this stuff was in the Bible. All that stuff was real like that. I thought that was done away with the apostles. And he opened my eyes. And supernatural things start taking place as a result of being spirit-filled. Now, here's the first thing that started happening. I started reading the Bible, and things that I was reading, he would lift off the page and put in my heart, put in my heart. I began to know things I didn't know before. And we'll get into that, but that was just opening the door to what we call the manifestations or the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that stuff existed. I thought that was for Peter and Paul. You know, we revered Paul in the denomination. Oh, Paul, boy, Paul couldn't do no wrong. But I didn't know Paul was spirit-filled.
All right.
Christianity.